Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our Old Testament reading from Daniel chapter 12. You may be seated. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Is that not what you were expecting to hear this morning? It is November 17th, I think, after all, right? It's not really Christmas time, although I did hear some Christmas music on the radio just a couple of days ago. And what was my first thought? It's not even Advent yet. Although, to be fair, Advent is right around the corner, and then on the heels of Advent is that joyous Christmas season, but we really shouldn't be getting ahead of ourselves. But that's the kind of people that we are, isn't it? People who get ahead of ourselves. We're people of anticipation, always looking forward to the next thing. Sometimes even before we've gotten to the thing that's right in front of us right now. So today, as we stand at the doorstep of the great and wonderful known, the birth of Jesus, the celebration of Christmas, we need to pause and take a moment to think about the great unknown, the hour and the day of the final judgment. You must have known that that's what we were going to be talking about today. You don't get two hymns at the beginning of the service from the end time section of the hymnal without knowing that you're going to be talking about the end times. And it's what we hear about in our Old Testament reading from Daniel. It's what we hear about in our Gospel reading from Mark as well. And what we heard from Daniel today is something that we can't help but anticipate. Just as we know that in just a few weeks we're going to be anticipating the first coming of Jesus, his incarnation, today we focus on that promised time when he will come again, and that where we'll have the opportunity to see him face to face. What a wonderful thing that's going to be, to see our Lord and Savior face to face. So instead of today, 'twas the night before Christmas, we need to tweak the message just a little bit and hear what Scripture tells us about what we're looking forward to in Jesus' second coming. This is what Daniel 12 says to us. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there will be a time of trouble, such as never been seen since there was a nation till that time. Michael, this is the great angel who is sent to guard and to protect God's people. He's the one who has charge over his people, and he will be there in this time of trouble that Daniel describes like nothing that they've ever seen before. And so, instead of today, 'twas the night before Christmas, we have to tweak it a little bit, and our poem might go a little something like this. 'Twas the night before judgment, and all were asleep. Not a creature was stirring, not one made a peep. Their Bibles were laying on their bedsides with care, not thinking tonight that their Lord would be there. Now, we've heard the Christmas version of this poem so many times that we know that that first verse is just building us up for something that's even more important, a dramatic part of the story. The children were dressed and all tucked into bed with visions of candy and toys in their heads. And Mom in her rocker with Babe on her lap had been watching The Late Show while I took a nap. We've diverted from the Christmas version of this story pretty significantly at this point, right? And now we're no longer thinking about that jolly man who's coming down the chimney, but what we're starting to think about is the thief in the night described by Paul in 1 Thessalonians, where he says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, You have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware of the day of the Lord, and that it will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's clear that this life, this world, in fact, will end. But Jesus makes it very clear in the gospel that we just heard from Mark 13 that despite the detail that God the Father is willing to share about that end time, there is one thing that he's just not willing to give us. And that's the day and the hour. We go about our peaceful, secure, comfortable lives, and we do so with this clock that's ticking in the background. And that clock has an alarm on it, but it's not an alarm that's going to wake us gradually from a peaceful slumber. It's an alarm which is going to rouse us in an instant when our Lord comes again in all of his glory and comes with great fanfare, but also with great consequence. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear, but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew at that point this must be Judgment Day. And that day is going to come whether we're ready for it or not. And as with anything that we know is coming, we can have one of two possible reactions to it. We can either welcome it with great enthusiasm, or we could have a great sense of dread and fear and uncertainty about its approach. That was some enthusiasm over there. Absolutely. That's what we want. A feeling of enthusiasm about what's to come, what God has promised for us. Daniel puts it this way, "But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." As you think about that day, which of those two camps do you fall into? Are you one who has great enthusiasm? Or is it fear and uncertainty? For those of us who know that that day is going to come, it's natural for us to be feeling both of those emotions. We know that it is by grace, through faith, that on that day, our names will be written in that book of life. And that's a comfort to us. And we also know that by our own reason or strength, we cannot believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. Our human nature is to want to do whatever we can to be prepared for that day. If we knew that Jesus was returning next month or next week or maybe even tomorrow, how might we change the way that we're living our lives? What might we do differently? Would we have the same sense of fear and uncertainty that sometimes creeps in as we're having these sorts of conversations? The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. As we process our thoughts and our fears and our uncertainties about that day when Jesus will return, we're reminded that whatever it is that we have gathered, whatever we've done, and whatever we might think of ourselves, all of it is meaningless in the sight of the one in front of whom we are going to stand and be judged. And when viewed directly, we can be seen as nothing but sinners, unworthy of that gift that he comes to deliver. In the book of all life, which he held in his hand, was written names of women, of every saved woman and man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not there," then my head hung in shame. Each one of us should know that by our own merits, that is exactly what our fate is. Because the Lord, our judge, has two options when he looks at us on that day. Some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. We have not kept the law. We daily fall short of what God has asked us to do. We have nothing to offer, and we have no leg to stand on of our own as we face our Maker. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he sent to his right, while all of the others were sent into night. I fell to my knees, but it now was too late. I'd waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if I had only been ready tonight. If this were God's will, he would be fully justified in allowing our story to end right there. I warned them, he could very easily say to us. I told them over and over again of the consequences of their sin, but did they listen to me? No. I told them to be ready, but they didn't listen. Fortunately, we know that that's not God's will for us. He desires that every single person would live with him in eternity. And this doesn't have to be the end of our story. We need not fear, nor should we be uncertain about what the future holds for us. As believers, as people who are called by the name of Christ, our future is certain and it's sure. Fear and uncertainty are unnecessary for those of us who have faith, because we really do know what the future holds for us. This joy that we have is the knowledge that Jesus' second coming will be just that. It will be his second coming, because he has been here before. And what he accomplished in his first coming is the very reason that we can look forward to his return with great hope and without fear. Despite our inability to fulfill the law, Christ's life and his death and his resurrection give us the assurance that we will be on the right side of judgment when he returns. And it also gives us the knowledge that our story can have a different ending than all that. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to rewrite those last few verses for you. In the book of all life, which he held in his hand, was writ names of every saved woman and man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "Here it is," then again the tears came. And now each of us should be asking this question. How is it that my name possibly got written in the book of life? I know that it's not anything that I've done that's caused it to be written there. In fact, there's not a single one of us who has access to that pen to be able to make a single mark on that page, much less write our own name in that book. I knew it was blood that had there writ my name. I had nothing to give, neither fortune nor fame. But only my sin did he take to the cross. My long list of good works counted nothing but loss. It's our understanding of our inability to earn or to merit eternal life, along with our faith in the sacrifice made by Christ to pay that price for us, that allows for our names to be written in that book. I fell to my knees praising God for Christ's sake. When up from the grave, people started to wake. My face started shining like Jesus the sun, and I knew that the end of the world had now come. God promises that we who have faith will put on that robe of righteousness that allows us to shine like Jesus. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What then is there to fear? Should we fear death? Jesus has already overcome it for us. Are we to fear separation? In fact, the end brings eternal unity in heaven with our Creator and with our Redeemer and with all of the saints who have gone before us. Should we be afraid of facing the one who made us? A healthy fear, for sure, we should have, but also one that recognizes that He is the one who formed us in our mother's womb. He is the one who walked with us throughout our lives. He gave Himself that we might conquer fear. He is the one who sent His Spirit to sustain us and who now calls us His children to live with Him in all His glory. What a marvelous promise that is to lean on. And it's one which should drive out from us all fear and uncertainty. The multitudes rose, some to death, some to life. I left behind all my struggle and strife. We rose with His righteousness covering us and saw with great sadness those left in the dust. If there's any fear that we should have about that last day, it's for those who do not yet know the power of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is they who will hear that knock on the door on the last day and have real reason to fear. Our future is certain. It's been secured by the blood of Christ as He suffered and died to pay that debt which we could not pay on our own. I think I may have shared this quote with you before, but it's one that's wholly appropriate for today. Robert Abernathy once said, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Our future is in the hands of the one who will never leave us and who has promised that He will never forsake us. So go ahead and anticipate. Even anticipate that first coming of Christ. Celebrate it with great joy, as Christ's earthly life is the means by which He secured our future. But also don't fail to anticipate with joy His second coming. For we know that that is going to be a day of even greater joy for all who have faith in Him. Fear not, for your faith has made you ready. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.